When I say our country, I mean this in a very universal sense, like for all countries, all peoples. I think there's something good and right about celebrating our country in the context of saying, this is where God has placed me. This is the place that God has given me to serve, and that holding up the good things and acknowledging and celebrating the good things in my country is in fact a reflection or a continuance of or participation in my actual worship of God. Thank you, Lord, for putting me in this time and place. Welcome back to the Be Unbound podcast, where we discuss practical Christian living, how to build thriving communities, and how to be extraordinary at the ordinary. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Brush.
And I'm your co-host, David Rethemeyer.
David, about a week ago, I was getting ready to prepare to do some traveling. And at this time of the year, we have multiple teams out and multiple groups going different directions. And sometimes we have to share some equipment back and forth because we're trying to hand one off to the other. And so it just so turned out that about mid-afternoon, I realized that the kit that I needed was the kit that you actually had. And so you and I and Trent had some discussions back and forth. Caleb and I are going one place. You and Trent were already someplace else. And you said, oh, no problem. Trent said, we'll drop it off at your house at the end of the day, and then you'll leave tomorrow morning. I said, great, no problem. So Trent says, we'll be there around 10 o'clock. And so then later that night, I was getting ready to go to bed. The kid hadn't showed up yet. And I got a text from you or Trent that said, actually, it's going to be closer to midnight. I said, no problem. I'm going to bed. Just stick it on the porch. And as I was going to bed, I was doing the math in my head, David. And I was like, I know where that event was. And I know how far it was from home. And that's pretty late to be getting home unless, and I inferred with my Sherlock Holmes detective ability where you were. So where were you, David? Why were you 2 hours later coming back than you expected?
So there's a couple of reasons for this. I'll tell you the better reason first, and then the more fun reason. So the better reason is that we were up in Pennsylvania for a Thrive event, and so it was a lot of fun to get to go up and talk with people. And we ended up for a little while after the event had officially ended, talking with some of the people who had attended, and so that's always a fantastic time when we get to do that. So that was part of the reason. That was one of the hours that we were late. The other part of why we were late, though, is that it is very quickly approaching the 4th of July. And so some of you may know Trent, one of our missions counselors. He has been on the podcast quite a few times previously. He has, I would say, a very significant affinity for any sort of pyrotechnics or fireworks. And so he has done quite a few fireworks shows and helped with those here in the area. Actually, they've been held over at Jonathan's house quite a few times. And we decided, we realized that in Virginia, there are quite a few more limitations on what size and what variety of fireworks are actually available for purchase. And so Trent and I realized we are just over the border in Pennsylvania, where there are not nearly as many restrictions on the size and variety of fireworks that we can purchase. And so we decided to stop into a very large fireworks emporium that was just along our router, not too far off of our route. And I have never been in a fireworks store that large. All of the other fireworks stands that I've been in have been much more just like tents set up on the side of the highway where you just had like a bunch of tables that had just, you know, boxes of bottle rockets on there. This was, I think the closest thing I could just equivalent to is it was the Walmart of fireworks. It was
the Buc-ee's of fireworks.
nearly. It was massive. There were shopping carts at the front, which I already took as a sign that this place had some of the big stuff. And sure enough, like straight after the shopping carts were there, there were some of the largest boxes. There were some of the boxes of fireworks that were almost as large as me, for reference, in size and in length. And I'm just sitting there looking at it going, I don't have the money for this, but I really wish that I did right now, because I have no idea what's in that box, but I'm sure it's going to look fantastic for whoever
likes it.
I'm
picturing the memes, you know. I won't tell anybody that I won the lottery, but there will be signs. And David's exactly Standing there with, you know, four or five boxes of fireworks as tall as he is.
So yes, we had a fantastic time browsing through and making some selections for fireworks that we will be setting off here later this week. And then that also did lead into a discussion of Trent and I in the car, because the guy who was checking us out happened to mention that it is actually possible, if you get a license, to be able to actually make your own fireworks, which does sound like a skill set that does require some pretty specialized knowledge. And so I think that it's worth making sure that there's some certifications for that. But then Trent and I naturally looked up what it takes to get some of those certifications on the way home and realized that that's actually, as far as expense wise, like, it takes some doing, it takes a little bit of money, but that's actually fairly doable. So what I'm trying to say here, Jonathan, is that in addition to all of the other fantastic roles that Trent plays in the organization, he may be an officially licensed pyrotechnic for Unbound before too long.
Well, in my life, that would be a revolution, because I grew up with an unofficially not licensed pyrotechnic known as my brother, who absolutely has built fireworks since he was probably 16 or 17, to the point that when my brother flicks a lighter or strikes a match, I have a Pavlovian reflex to jump behind something solid and unmovable. Because generally, for most of my life, this is a younger brother, but for most of my life, when my brother flicks a match, flicks a lighter or strikes a match, the next thing that happens is there's going to be an explosion and often shrapnel. And so, you know, having a licensed pyrotechnic around would be a definite increase in safety as far as I'm concerned. So one of the great things about the 4th of July, and look, as a kid and as I was with a friend recently, and another friend was outside, and he has the other friend has a 1972 or 73 highboy Ford truck that he has completely redone. And as he left, he just floored it. I mean, like, windows rattled inside the building. And the friend I was with looked at me and cocked an eyebrow and said, "At heart, we're all just little boys." And that,
true.
That happens again at 4th of July, where it's like matches, pyrotechnics. Yeah, sign us up. Well, welcome back to Wildcard. Today, we're going to select something in our office that has an interesting story. And I've already gotten a couple of comments asking if it was a boomerang in the back of my office on the shelf there. And the answer is no, this is actually a throwing stick. I have a very unique brother who I love dearly, and is also probably one of the deadliest people I know. He's interested in weapons of all kinds. And this throwing stick is actually the completion of a set. I have a medium, a long range, and a short range. This is a short range throwing stick. So this is a stick to be thrown. It does have an airfoil type of thing on it, but it doesn't return. However, I can tell you that if you catch this thing just right and whip it really hard, it will fly 75 yards easy, 150 yards with just a little effort. And remember, this is the short range one. So the long range one, you can absolutely throw 300 to 400 yards if you get the angle just right. I assume it creates a little bit of lift as it flies. Theoretically, you can hunt with this. I have no interest in hunting anything with it, nor am I accurate enough to hunt anything with it. But it is absolutely fantastic to wear out a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old in a field, or to wear out a Labrador or a Golden Retriever. It's made out of some sort of resin, something or another. And so far, after many retrieves, it has no teeth marks on it. But you don't want them downrange when you throw it, because it does whack stuff pretty hard. But I'm generally just throwing for distance. So anyhow, that's the story of my strange weapon in the background of my office here and on my... Yeah, in my studio.
Yeah, that's really interesting. For any listeners who are over just listening over audio, it really does just look like a boomerang. And that's definitely what I thought at first. It just looks like a rather large one. So I guess my question off of that is there anybody in your family who is particularly good with them?
Oh, my brother. Yeah, he kills a lot of stuff with it.
So he's actually able to use it for hunting.
Oh, yeah. He kills a lot of groundhogs and a lot of rabbits with it. Name an unusual hunting weapon, and I always assume that my brother has used it successfully. That does include throwing knives, spears, atlatls, homemade bows, et cetera. So, yeah.
That is super cool. All right. So for mine, this is something that I have had for, goodness, probably like 8 years or so now. And so it's not actually in the background that you all can see. I have a pretty blank background in my podcast video, but this is something that is in my office. And so this, for those who are just listening over audio, is a large kind of cylindrical tower that basically... if you remember from back in the day, I remember Taco Bell was notorious for having these things. It was just like clear plastic sides, and it had just like a bunch of like little platforms on the inside, and you could drop a coin and try to win something in it. Is that like a good kind of like description of what you're seeing here?
Yeah, Jonathan? So it's like a tube that you drop like a marble or something down.
So it is specifically a dice tower is what it is for. So is specifically the logo here on the bottom is the Dungeons and Dragons logo. So it was made by a friend of mine who was a roommate of mine during grad school, and we played Dungeons and Dragons together, and so he 3D printed a lot of this and then just like glued and made all the different parts that go into this. And so how it works is there's, you know, a big opening in the top, and you drop a die into the top, and it makes a very satisfying sound, and it just Look lands into the tray. And not only that, in showing this off on a 20-sided die, I rolled a natural 20 in demonstrating this, which
as far as I'm concerned, it's just a waste, because I mean, it's just a demonstration. So you could have used that 20 in a game somewhere. So, yeah,
that's very true. I know. I think because I'm running the game most of the time in my friend groups. And so, well, I think that the people who I will like
what it was is one of your characters was using a throwing stick to take out a bad guy. And roll 20, they probably got it at 200 yards. So
that's it. There you go. Exactly. No, I like that. I like that. So, hey, now I have inspiration for a future character to use in one of my games that has one of those as a weapon. And who knows, maybe he might have like a last name of Thrush or something like that. we'll figure out something creative for that.
Immortality is the best kind.
Exactly.
We know. It's tough to find the right resources for your high schooler. That's where Equip by Unbound comes in. This program for 9th through 11th graders combines Christian worldview training, coaching, and hands-on projects that help students apply what they're learning in real life. By year's end, they'll have stronger skills, clearer direction, and more confidence for what's ahead. Prices are going up soon, so now's the time. Learn more at beunbound.us/equip.
And so one of the great traditions of the 4th of July in America is certainly celebrating with explosions and fireworks. But David, you have an interesting question that we're looking at the podcast today, which is sort of an extension of that. But what's the question here?
Yeah. So the question that is worth tackling here is, as a Christian, should you celebrate your country? And so obviously this time of year, especially for those of us in America around the 250th birthday of America, that's a very relevant question. And I think it's also just a relevant question that I think is worth wrestling with, because we as Christians are, told scripturally that we are not of this world and that our citizenship and allegiance is first to the kingdom of heaven before any earthly kingdom. And so, that I don't think is too terribly hard to grasp. But then comes the question, all right, so I am first and foremost a citizen of God's kingdom. How does that then play into my citizenship to the country where I, on this side of eternity, physically live? And, should I celebrate my country, or should I reserve all of that for the kingdom of heaven? And so I think that that's a very relevant question for us to wrestle with, just as we are seeking to sort through how to participate in our country and to be citizens of our country here on this side of eternity, while still knowing that we are ultimately citizens of the kingdom of God.
So as we were thinking about this question, David, I had this kind of interesting parallel that struck me. And we haven't talked about this before, so I'll trot it out and see if it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But the parallel I thought about is that we are called to worship God. And so that's clear. Christians mm-hmm. have no difficulty understanding that. Maybe doing it sometimes, we don't have any difficulty understanding that as a requirement. And yet, once a year, for most of us, a birthday rolls around. And on that birthday, we tend to think it's a good thing to celebrate that person. You and I have been to birthday parties. We have some close friends that love to throw big birthday parties, and we love to go to them as a celebration of that person, which is not really why they're throwing them, but they throw them because they're celebrating their friends. But, you know, birthdays are a, you know, an unavoidable time where you kind of celebrate that person. You give them gifts, you give them cards, you give them some accolades, you tell them how much you love them. And so, you know, when we do that, are we, you know, would you say, oh, don't waste time celebrating David's birthday. You should be spending all that time worshiping God. And yet we would also say that there are ways to celebrate birthdays that are worshipful and ones that are not. And to some extent, we would celebrate somebody's birthday because they're made in the image of God. And we're celebrating the blessing of, you know, that God has put in their life, and also the fact that we see them as made in the image of God. And so I think that there's some extension to that as well here with countries, right? You know, as we have this big birthday party coming up for the United States, I think it's somewhat of a parallel there that there, you know, we celebrate somebody's birthday even though we know they're a sinful person who falls short of perfection. And, you know, we should have a realistic view of our country and know that we are a sinful country that falls short of perfection. And yet there are good things to celebrate. I think we can celebrate that in the context of being worshipful to God. And so I think that there's an opportunity here that it's not just okay to celebrate. I think we can celebrate our country. And when I say our country, I mean this in a very universal sense, like for all countries, all peoples. I think there's something good and right about celebrating our country in the context of saying, this is where God has placed me. This is the place that God has given me to serve. And that holding up the good things and acknowledging and celebrating the good things in my country is in fact a reflection or a continuance of or participation in my actual worship of God. Thank you, Lord, for putting me in this time and place. Thank you, Lord, for surrounding me with these neighbors and these people. Thank you, Lord, for this place that I get to live. And I seek the good of that country. Lots of scripture verses about that. While also knowing that my true citizenship belongs to heaven and that, you know, not being naive, my country has flaws and problems and sins just like any other place on earth post-Eden. But that there is something good and righteous about celebrating where we live. And, you know, as an American, I'm excited to celebrate the United States on a pretty important birthday coming up here, the 250th. But I'm also proud to be an American, not meaning that I'm better than anybody else, certainly not in God's eyes, but proud to be an American in the sense that I'm grateful for the place where I've been put by God. And I owe an allegiance to help that place be better, to participate in the redemption of all things, even as I acknowledge that this is not my true and final home. I was trying to remember, it was John Robert Newhouse. I can't remember which way that goes. but he has this statement that has been a little bit controversial, but he didn't mean it that way, where he said, when I meet God, I expect to meet him as an American. And he didn't mean that that gave him some sort of righteousness or superiority. He just meant that was a unique characteristic that God had made him in that national identity. And so it was part of who he was. And so his context of his life was framed that way. And he would have extended and said, you know, I'd expect to meet as Chinese. I'd expect to meet him as Israelite. I'd expect it. You know, in other words, there's something unique at the time and place that God put us that shapes us in unique ways. And I think we can rightfully see that as a gift from God.
Yeah. I really like that analogy. It obviously does break down eventually, but you know, you can very easily and wholeheartedly celebrate the birthday of someone that you love while not necessarily claiming that they are perfect in any way. And you know, I think that that's a healthy thing to have, is that we're obviously not claiming that America is perfect. If you want any proof of that, you can go back into our catalog of episodes and hear us talk at length about all of our problems that we have with certain pieces of the state of America and American culture right now. So we're definitely not blind to that, but it is a good thing to celebrate that. And it, like, I think to really focus in on the point that you had and drew out well there, is that it is the place that God has put us, and it is good for us to work for the good of the place that he has put us. You know, you mentioned that there's plenty of support in scripture. The one that I particularly wrote down to highlight here is from Jeremiah 29, verse 7, which says, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." And that is, I think, an excellent just kind of summation of why we should seek for the good of and to celebrate the good that we can find in the place that we live, is that it is not only just because it is worth celebrating in and of itself. I think that any place where we can see evidence of God's grace and redemption at work, it is worth celebrating. And then it is also for our benefit. So I think it is not only good for us to look to benefit our country and benefit the place that we are living for the sake of everyone else that's living there, but it's going to make your life better as well. And so I think that it's important and good for us to recognize that God actively calls us, yes, to primarily work for the kingdom of heaven, but also while doing that, part of that work is working for the good of the place where we are put on this side of the kingdom of heaven. And part of that is because the kingdoms or the nations that you and I are a part of right now have eternal beings who are ultimately going to go to either the kingdom of heaven or to hell. And so it is very worth trying to improve the place where those beings are living right now, because that does have, at least to some extent, an impact on how they are going to live their lives and the decisions that they're going to make. And ultimately, God is the one who has full control of this, but may have some impact in how readily or the availability and the access they have to hear about the good news and hear about why they should seek to go to the kingdom of heaven and be a citizen of that nation as well.
Well, we're not the first people to note that verse that you pulled from Jeremiah is about Babylon, which is considered to be the archetype of the wrong kind of country.
Right.
And yet God calls for the celebration and well-being of that. So it is that question. Should Christians celebrate the country? Is it right for them to do that? Is it right for them to be excited? I think yes. Like all things, by checking our heart, by thinking about what are our motivations and making sure that we're cautious about that, with remembering that we are first and foremost citizens of the kingdom of God. And so those things are important. But I do think then it gets down to this opportunity to say, if yes, then there's good things to celebrate here. And I think some of what it means to live practically is to not be continually immersed in combat and in worry. And so there it is good for us to take a moment and to celebrate. And so, David, I was thinking about this, just in terms of recently, I think on our previous podcast, we talked a little bit about, there's mundane things that are really quite miraculous. David and I are in Virginia. What did I tell you, David? Let me look. Outside is where it's like 77% humidity right now, and it's already 83 degrees, and this is in the morning. It's going to climb over 90 today. It's going to be a brutally hot day. The wonderment of air conditioning. My house is not air conditioned. My office is. And so I understand the contrast very much, and there is a miraculous aspect to that.
Well, and especially compared to what's going on in Europe right now with so many people unfortunately passing because of a lack of air conditioning. So it makes us extra grateful for it.
Well, I didn't remember that it's kind of a unique thing. But David, I had an experience last night that is uniquely local and in some ways uniquely American. Not that it is like, the epitome of like what it means to be in America. It's an example of what it's like to be in America where I live. And one of the reasons it kind of makes your heart swell, I think, with righteous pride in terms of like, this is a good thing. So two of my children play violin. And in fact, you might say they play fiddle because that's more the style that they're being trained in. And so there's a man in our area who's just a phenomenally good teacher. And so let's just start there, right? He teaches an amazing variety of people in the basement of his home. And so there's a lot of things we take for granted there, but there's lots of places in the world where that just wouldn't be possible for a variety of reasons that have to do with corruption and laws and all those kinds of things. And yet he makes quite a robust living teaching people how to play fiddle. And he's a very, very talented musician. He's an excellent teacher. He has something called a fiddle camp. And so it's the kids get ready for 2 days, and then the beginners, intermediates, and the advanced all play together in this big room. It's in a converted barn, and so there's kind of uniquely country kind of for the place where we live, which is the middle of the Shenandoah Valley. It plays a, they play a kind of music that is actually native to this Appalachian region. So there's a lot of bluegrass influence in that. And so it's kind of rooted in this place and this kind of countryside. And so last night they had fiddle camp, and it's kind of like, I describe it to friends as the best kind of recital. It feels more like a concert or a jam session than it does a recital. And so we went, and we had lots of friends who came, but we also have lots of neighbors who come. And so there's lots of people that we know we see there. And so we all listened to the jam session, to the fiddle camp, to the, you know, the kind of music. Then, you know, we're all kind of visiting a little bit afterwards. And then we all ran about 50 minutes later, 50 minutes over to a ice cream shop, which is an also great American entrepreneurial story. Somebody who started in a trailer and now runs a wildly successful ice cream shop that is, you know, packed even into the late hours of the evening in January. And again, see lots and lots of neighbors and stuff there. What's the point? The point is that this was wildly mundane in the sense that this is not anything particularly unique. It's unique for this region, but a group of people getting together to hear a recital of music and then go to ice cream is not necessarily some like completely unique, never happens anywhere else thing. I think the part that I was observing last night was how much is in that simple evening that we take for granted. The roots and the cultural place that birthed the kind of music that we were listening to. My ability to pay for lessons for my children. Their ability to buy good quality instruments at a price that was, you know, a little bit like expensive, but we could afford. There's a whole economic enterprise behind that that makes this pretty crazy. Access to a teacher. This teacher is unabashedly Christian, and so it wasn't a Christian concert, but he was very comfortably talking about his faith as it was, you know, kind of woven through some of the things I talked about in the concert. And, you know, that's a freedom of religion aspect and a freedom of speech aspect that we have in this country that we somewhat take for granted. Going to a store that provides a service for the community that also has blessed the people that started it because they put in a lot of hard work and now they're seeing the rewards for that. And then I was just thinking as we drove across, David, you know, good solid roads to drive through, good towns to be in, this facility that was available to us that another entrepreneur took an old machine shed in hay barn and transferred it into an event space. And is, you know, seems to be making good money from doing that, but gave us a place to come to that was air conditioned, which was very important last night. Those are seemingly mundane things that are rich and deep in culture, in context, in people, in relationships. And many of those are rooted and made possible by the country we live in and the freedoms that we enjoy and often do accidentally take for granted. And it's worth backing up, taking a little sidestep so we can get some perspective on that and saying these are good things and to be thankful for them and to praise them, to give thanks to God and then give thanks to our neighbors and to our structures of government and authorities and things like that that make those things possible. Not in a perfect way, but in a way that results in good things like we experienced last night.
Yeah. It's very worth appreciating and celebrating those little mundane things that are blessings. And like the kind of thread that goes through that that comes to my mind when I think about what I appreciate most about America and what I want to celebrate is just the opportunity that is here in America for those who are willing to take it. You know, I think that is something that was extremely important to those who founded this country, who you know, were operating off of very strong, at very least, Christian moral principles, and they were very strongly influenced by that. And you know, we talk a lot about the Imago Dei and the value of every individual person here on the podcast, and I think that that is a principle that, while not explicitly in our government, is like a very influential principle in how it's set up, and especially when it comes to the way that people are treated and the way that that people can have opportunity to express themselves and to believe and to say and to do the things that you know they're welcome to do. And so there is just so much framework that is just set up to make sure that those who are willing to take the opportunity, regardless of what religion, if they have a completely different religious background than some sort of Christian moral principle, then they are still able to participate in America. Even if they have a completely different cultural background, if they have different ideas, then they can still participate and work to find a place for themselves. And especially in terms of business, like you were mentioning with the ice cream shop, if you have a good idea and a good work ethic and a little bit of good fortune, then it is absolutely possible to make your way from basically nothing to having a fantastic business. And so, are there caveats to all of these? Could we do a better job of all these things? Absolutely. But the fact that America does do that way better than almost any place else in the world, and has been doing it better than almost any place else in the world for about 250 years, is pretty incredible and worth celebrating, not only because it's a great thing for us, but because I think it does reflect something in an attribute that God values in seeing and making sure that each individual person has value and has opportunity to do the things that they're created to do fully and with freedom.
So this 4th of July always interacts with us an interesting way. We acquired Unbound in 2020, and so that was on July 1st, and so it is our 6th birthday under our acquisition, although the company that we acquired and then modified heavily dates back to 2003, so this would be 23 years, I believe, is right, in terms of our, and I'm not exactly sure the exact date of the original company's founding, so it may not be July 1st, but in the neighborhood of 23 years. And so I think a lot of the fact that Unbound and what we do, I don't know that it exists in another country. There is an element of a freedom of speech and a freedom of religion that is baked into what we do. Also, the free enterprise heritage that David was just talking about of the United States allowed a group of entrepreneurs in 2003 to start a company that another group of people with good ideas were able to acquire and do something with in 2020. There's certainly aspects of that, and there's aspects of regulations and business law that drives us pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. And yet there is the reality that with hard work and a dream, you can build something unique and interesting and different. You can recreate something. We often say that we're reinventing higher education. We live in a place that allows us to do that. I also had some interesting thoughts, David. If 250 years seems like a lot, and then it's not much. Mm-hmm. And so you want to hear something really crazy, is that I have been alive for almost 20% of America's entire existence, which is, isn't that crazy? Like, just to think about that, Unbound and our company's been around for 10% of it, which is smaller, but still my parents have been alive for 30% and my grandparents for 40%, in some cases trading up to 45%. The country's, grandparents have passed away now, but at the time did the math, the country's entire existence. And so, there's something unique and perspective granting about that, to just kind of, first of all, I mean, it makes me feel ancient in some ways, but it also gives some real perspective on the age of the country. And that maybe should make us pause and think about what a unique and in some ways fragile thing this is. And I don't know, fragile things you tend to want to, hold carefully and treasure well. And maybe there's some perspective there to grant all of us to listen and go, this thing that we take for granted is perhaps a little younger and a little more fragile than we often think. We're called to steward that well and to appreciate that. And I think to steward it well starts with being able to celebrate the good things about this good land and this good place, this good country that God has given us to live in and to be in and to celebrate. And I think that to do that well, it can be a form of worship, that can be done out of gratefulness to God. And there's so much to celebrate in that way. This morning, David, I went for a walk trying to beat the crippling heat that was coming. And as I was sharing with you, I didn't. I feel like I had jumped in the river instead of just walked through the field. And there was just this, you know, I get to live in a beautiful part of the country. And so as I crested the hill and the fields kind of unfolded before me, and I could see the river down on the bottom and the trees, I could hear the birds singing. I jumped a couple deer that ran out. There was a beauty there that made me think, first, of course, thank you, Lord, for your creation. But then, you know, there's I can hear faintly the hum of the interstate. There's something amazing about an interstate that can, you know, transport David and Trent within a very few short hours to another state where different things are possible. I think we can say it that way. You know, on the horizon, there's a cell tower, which, you know, this country provides the structure and the ability for entrepreneurs to build something as miraculous as cell towers that gives us instant communication stuff. And we've talked about whether that's a good or bad thing, but it is a miraculous thing in some sense. You know, I'm looking at farmland and people who can farm and grow food for others and do it in a way that benefits them as well. There's just intricacy upon intricacy that folds into God's amazing creation. And then a place where we, as his primary crown of his creation, made in his image, can act in the image of God and in the likeness of God by taking dominion over this place and having our ideas come to fruition and bringing them to life and doing that in a way that helps others. And again, as sinful people, there'll be mistakes there. And yet there is great good as well. And that's worth pondering, that's worth thinking about, that's worth giving thanks to God about, and that's worth, dare I say, David, that's worth blowing some things up over in celebration this 4th of July.
In a celebratory fashion, with right. Especially if you have access to them, licensed pyrotechnicians.
So. as I always say, Trent always is very kind and asks every year if he can come and set off fireworks at our place. And I'm always like, this is like the deal of the century, right? Trent risks his fingers, whether he's licensed or not, to set them off. It appears to me that David and Trent spent the money and I get to sit in my front porch and watch all of that wonderful pyrotechnics go off and to benefit from all of that. And there's something pretty American about that as well, I believe.
So. I would agree. Well, we are back with another Unbound student feature for this week's episode, and we are continuing to feature some of the podcast intern team that is helping us to make the podcast even better over the course of this summer. And so the next member that we're introducing you all to is Adonijah, better known as Addy to those who are friends of his. And so, Addy, we are really grateful to have you on the team and be able to feature you on the show.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be working with you and to be here.
Yeah, so you, I think, have one of the most unique stories when it comes to how you actually joined the Unbound community, how you became aware of the Unbound community, and just how you got involved on that front. Most people just, you know, they hear about it through some of the marketing channels and, you know, end up enrolling. Your story is notably different. And so I think it would be really cool for everybody to hear about how that happened for you. So when did you first? I guess maybe the more appropriate question is, how did you first encounter people who were Unbound students, and talk us through like that process and what that story was like?
Yeah. So I grew up as a missionary in Africa, and we had a lot of people from the States come and visit our ministry. And some of these people in 2021, some people reached out to us, two young ladies who had been through the program and they were good friends with each other, but they just wanted to come and see our ministry and to volunteer to work with us they initially planned to stay for a year, I think. And so that's how I got connected with Savannah and Melissa. And they came, they stayed with us for some time, and they became good friends of mine. And that was back in 2021. And we stayed connected even after they left. And then in 2023, I was in the States for the summer. And Melissa reached out to me and was like, hey, you should come to Apex because I'm going to be there. And at the very least, it'll just be a chance for me to get to see you. So, and I had like very little context for what it was about. I had seen some videos, and I used to watch Blimey Cow, and so I had a very limited understanding of what Unbound was, but I just wanted to go to see my friend. And I went, and it was one of the most life-changing experiences that summer. And I loved the people I got to know there. Yeah, it was a great experience, and I remained connected in the Unbound community, even though I wasn't fully, I wasn't enrolled at that time. And then in early 2024, I decided that I would enroll, and I am now in my third year of Ascent, and hopefully will remain part of this community for a long time after.
Well, not only that, and we managed to, I think, probably in one of the biggest travels that we have managed to convince an Unbound student to make, you even managed to move all the way from where you were in Africa out here to near where Jonathan and I are here in Virginia. And so we're really grateful to have you here as well. And we're able to get you connected with a really cool company and get you some work out here as well, which we're excited to be able to do. So, and so I would just love to hear, in your own words, like, what do you think, the biggest thing that you have learned, has been since, you have joined, the Ascend program and the Unbound community? It sounds like it's been, made an impact on you, for even many years beyond since when you enrolled. But, as far as just like the biggest thing that you've learned, either just seeing other people in the community or what you've learned yourself personally, what do you think that has been for you?
That's a great question. I think the biggest thing I would have learned is probably just how important and how powerful and how beautiful community can be. From the moment I stepped foot in Apex, I remember just being completely drawn and attracted to the wonderful community aspect, and that is what has influenced me staying in Ascend and staying part of this group is the community, and it is the main reason I decided to move all the way from Africa to come and live with Virginia is because of the community that I just fell in love with. So I think before that I didn't really have an understanding of how powerful the right community can be and how valuable it is. And I'd say that's probably the biggest thing I've learned through that.
Well, I think that I can speak pretty safely for the rest of the Unbound student community when we say that we are just as blessed to have you be a part of the Unbound community as we are grateful that we've been able to bless you as well. And so
thank you.
We're grateful to have you, and also grateful to have you on the podcast team this summer. And thanks for joining us and telling us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I think to conclude this episode and to just wrap back around to the question, as a Christian, should you celebrate your country? I think that we would absolutely say yes. It is obviously worth recognizing the parts of your country and the place that you live that are broken. But even as we recognize that our ultimate citizenship is to the kingdom of heaven, God calls us to look for the good of the place that we are in. And there is a lot of good to see, I think, in just about any place that you can end up being. And especially if you are an American and you're getting ready to celebrate the 250th birthday of America, there is a lot to celebrate and to be grateful for. And I think that that is very possible to do in a way that is good and worshipful and ultimately glorifying to God just as much, if not more, than glorifying the country itself.
And maybe one final note for those of you who might be listening to this, who aren't Americans. We would extend the question was broader. It wasn't, can you celebrate the United States? It was, can you celebrate your country? Mm-hmm. We would say that we would extend that to you as well. David and I both visited other countries, and we found many things to admire and to respect and to like about those places. And I think, it doesn't matter where you are in this world. You can trust that God put you there for a reason and for a purpose, and that there are things there to celebrate and there are things there to work towards the good of. There'll be challenges to overcome. And so while it may not be your birthday right now in terms of the date, we hope that you also have a chance to celebrate what is good and wonderful about the place that God has placed you and put you and is unique about where you live in your country and the place of your birth and where you live. So until next time, thank you for being with us. We hope that you get a chance to celebrate well wherever you are, and particularly if you're in the United States, that you get to celebrate well this 4th of July. Until next time, be unbound.